So the workshop topic is assigned to me is a quiet time. No? I just changed my Bible because my eyesight is getting not so strong. It's now quiet. Eh? So I could not see font size that is too small, and my Bible is getting turning yellow. Pages are turning yellow. So I bought a new Bible, which is a giant print Bible. Some of you sitting beside me and say, wow, why so big? The Bible, this is good for my eyes, and the paper is white, so it's easier for me to see. So when I took up my old Bible and I used the same cover, this is the same cover that I used. This was the condition of my Bible. I was shocked, turned a bit moldy. quite yellowish, and there are a lot of many useful notes that I've written. For more than 10 years, I've used this Thompson Chain Bible. So it's really yellow. It's turned yellow already, yeah, because of so many years of usage, and then underline and writing notes on it. And I look at it, and I tell myself, thank God I have used my Bible well. Now, let me ask you, can you look at your own Bible? Look at your own Bible. Eh? Look at your own Bible, everybody. Eh? Anybody is in worse condition than this? Nobody. Anybody want to boast that your Bible is so nice, so perfect, never touch one? Take out your Bible, and you have never touched your Bible, you have never used your Bible, so it's in a perfect, ideal condition. And you should be ashamed of yourself, if you think of that way. I think you should ask yourself, just open up your own Bible and ask yourself, have I used my Bible? Have I really read it? Have I really spent time? Is it a Bible that you can say you're proud of because you have really meditated, you have studied, you have underlined, you have put down your notes, you have considered, you have spent time, and it is, I always never want to give up my Bible, because once you use it, you have put so much effort into it, you just don't want to give up and start a new Bible again, because that's where I have to start all over again. But my eyesight is just getting bad. Eh? But you don't laugh at me, because when you reach my age, you will also be getting a giant print Bible. Now, when I look at your Bible, I cannot even see the words on your Bible. Some of your Bible is so small, especially for how. I just cannot see his Bible. beyond me already. But really, sincerely, you must ask yourself, have I really used my Bible well? My first Bible that I have, which I used also very well, and it was in the old church bank, right over there. And he also has a cover. It was inside the van, put right in the first row, and we all went. When I came back, someone broke our church van in the window, and the person stole my Bible. Because it's wrapped in this in the cover, so the person probably thought it's a lot of money, a big wallet. And no other bags were stolen except my Bible. And I was so sad that, all my effort of using my Bible was being stolen by this person who broke into our church van. He literally broke the window and steal our Bible. And it was gone, but on the other hand, I was happy because the person now had the Bible to read. And I pray that this person, whoever the person is, will come to know the Lord when you open up the Bible. Alright, so I'm going to start the Bible study, the workshop today. Now, before we start, let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Father in heaven, thank you for this time, giving us a camp, and help us to trust in thee and to always look up to thee and spend time in your word to meditate. To bless our workshop and strengthen us as we share, we meditate on your word, we learn that it will not be in vain, that every day in our life we will love thy word and meditate and obey your word. be with us and undertake for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me start the workshop. And the workshop is about what? Okay, welcome to the set. Sorry, I ran out of the notes. The next oldest one. Who's the next oldest one? Guo Hao. Guo Hao, can give out your notes. Okay. I want to start by asking you, every time we are very familiar with the term quiet time, right? Every time the quiet time, right? When yes, the preacher will say, you must do your quiet time. And another term that we always use, what? The daily devotion. Does it all ring a bell in you? What does it mean by quiet time? What does it mean by daily devotion? And in Chinese, the term that you're going to learn, those of you who are weak in Chinese, at least you learn the term, right? It's called Ling Siu, right? So actually, every of this term that, we are so familiar with it, and sometimes it doesn't cross our mind, and think carefully. See, every time your quiet time, right in your camp program, your daily devotion. So why do we use the word quiet time? Simply because of what? Quiet. Quiet means what? Quiet means what? Quiet. You know the meaning of quiet. So it's between you and the Lord. So every day you devote a time that is set to be quiet with no distraction, and you spend time with the Lord. And how do you spend time with the Lord? The only way you can spend time with the Lord is with the word of the Lord, right? The Lord gave us His word. So that's sometimes when we use word like quiet time, we must reflect and think the meaning of it. So when you say you do your quiet time, is it really between you and the Lord? Do you spend time with God's word? If you don't, you cannot say it's quiet time. So you get all distracted, your handphone is there, then you answer your SMS. After that, you message somebody, then you go and play some game. So it's not quiet at all. In fact, it's a noisy time, right? End up noisy time, you are distracted. So it's not quiet time. Then the next term that we always use is what? Daily devotion. The word daily means what? Daily, every day. So it's something that we do every day. So we call it daily devotion. Devotion is something that you give your heart to, you are devoted to. So what do you give your heart to? To God's word. And you do it what? Daily. And some people ask me, where in the Bible does it tell us to read our Bible every day? You know, we always say, read your Bible every day, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. I ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. So we do have verses that tell us, okay, the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Fine, shall we read this verse together? Ready, go. The bold spoke of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt
meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
I'm sure what the Lord told Joshua will be what is always for us, because this is spiritual success, not material worldly success, not secular success. And what must you do? Right? You must have this book of the law, must not depart out of your mouth, you must what? Meditate therein every year, no, not every month, but what? Day and night. So you can see the word day and night. Day and night you will spend time to meditate. And then of course you must observe to do, right? To obey. Another verse says, you can turn to Psalm 119, verse 148. So there are scriptural bases when we talk about daily devotion. Don't go to the extent of some churches even they say, you don't have to read the Bible every day. Day and night you have to meditate also. Psalm 119 verse 148. Verse 148. Okay, let's read together. My eyes
prepare the night watches, I meditate in thy word.
Now the night watches, right, in those days, right, they had the night watches that and a different first watch, 9 p.m., second watch, 12, in the midnight, 3 a.m. And so before my eyes prevent, right, I will come before the night watches, before the night time comes, before I really, really knock out and sleep, my eyes come before it, and what must I do before that? So every night the night will come, right? Every day there's going to be a night come. So when the night comes, I will do this thing first, the psalmist say, I will meditate in thy word. And so again, it tells us there's such a thing called daily devotion. So daily devotion is scripture, is Bible-based. So when we talk about daily devotion, quiet time, understand the meaning. Now, in Mandarin, you have this word called Ling Siu. Ling Siu. Thank you, Tan. You learned something. Ling means what? Ling is your what? Ah, your soul, right? Your spirit. What's inside you? Seal, you got this seal, you got seal, right? Seal, repair. Repair, right? So if you think of Ling Siu in one way, you can say, what? When I spend time to read my Bible every day, what is the time for? To repair my soul, right? To make many, maybe my soul has been distracted, it has sinned, it has turned to the world. So now I go back to God's word, right? Ling Siu is a way to mend that my soul to come back to the Lord, to remember the Lord. Of course, this word silver also has another meaning. Alright, yeah, well, I'm not a Chinese expert. Chinese expert out there. Right? Siu nian. Right? The word siu, right? Of course, siu li. Another meaning, siu nian means what? Siu nian means you, it's time for you to what? Reflect. Siu nian, reflect. Discipline yourself. Devote yourself. Cultivate your soul. So the word seal also can be sealed in, of course, sealed in, right? Repair your soul, and also be sealed in when you cultivate your soul, when you discipline your soul, and then you make sure that your soul now is right with the Lord, and you make reflection in your soul. So, actually, there are very wonderful terms, the Chinese term, the English term, daily devotion, quiet. Actually, they are all very wise, nice, wonderful term for us to think when we say every time a quiet time. Don't think about it. Is it really quiet? Do you have the time set apart? Every time your daily devotion, do you do it daily, every day? Is it time that you devote yourself to God? Do you have your Ling Siu? Is a soul really man, repair, come back to the Lord? Okay, so now, as I say, this is a workshop, I thank the Lord, because it's a workshop, I don't have to speak the whole night. So I'm going to ask you, you open your Bible to Psalm 119. Yeah? Psalm 119 is a very, very beautiful psalm. When you lose your love for God's word, the moment you read Psalm 119, I tell you, it will burn in your heart like the psalmist, the devotion, the love for God's word. And altogether, it has 176 verses in Psalm 119. And so I'm going to ask you, very quickly, share a verse in Psalm 119, because everything about Psalm 119 is about God's word. Everything, you read every verse, right? Literally, it's all about God's precept, God's commandment, God's law, God's statute, and so everything, every verse reflects God's word. So I want you to share a verse that in Psalm 119, there are many, but we don't have time, right? Just pick one verse that God touched your heart. And you're going to go around quickly to share that expresses in you that burning desire for God's word because of this verse. Eh? So I'm going to give you just 1 minute. Eh? Just 1 minute. Oh, some of you already have that verse in mind. Yeah, right? Some of you, I know. So certain verse in Psalm 119 is in you. And you love it. You can flip to any verse. There will always be a verse that actually will strike your heart. You just glance through, there was some verse in someone that will definitely strike you and stir in your heart this desire. Okay, 30 more seconds to go. So we'll go from the oldest to the youngest. The oldest to the youngest, okay? I'm the oldest, huh? Anyone older than me? No, right? I'm the oldest, yeah. So my verse is in 136, huh? Verse 136, the verse that the psalmist say, rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. And every time I come to this, that God's law is so precious that when you see people don't obey God's word, disobey God's word, you literally can weep and cry. Like the psalmist said, you run down my eyes because those people disobey God's law. Why do they do that? That's my verse. Okay, next. Can you tell me?
Verse 38,
establish
thy word unto thy servant
who is
devoted to thy will.
You can say one of these sentences if you like.
It's a wonderful reminder that God's word is the source of strengthening to me, and I should be one to always remember to fear.
Okay, next. Automatic, I know who you are.
Verse 127. 4:7.
For me, it's verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, when I think about Psalm 119, this verse will always come to mind. Again. So, this verse tells us that we should always keep God's word in our heart so that practically we will, the words will come in remembrance. So, there's always the need for us to remember God's word in our heart so that we can guard ourselves from sin.
Okay, so this is also another verse that tells us about daily devotion all the day. Okay, next. Old man also. Okay, next.
Psalm 119:81. My soul thirsts for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. It tells me that whenever you read God's word, there will be hope. La. There will be hope.
For me, it's 119:5. Go then, my ways to thy word, to keep thy statutes. I think that's my constant goal to achieve it. And to always.
It's a very good verse to see that how God ever is always perfect vision and control. We can understand how it is. When God can be done and then we got to be done.
My soul, my life was my soul, like this. Like, it reminds me that it's like, I just need to take a hit of like God's word and like, it will guide me through.
Okay. Life is close to each other. Each meal will not be real as I do. And I shall keep it to you. Because he tells me that I'm still in love with you. And I feel tired by life. Like, all you do. Good.
Mine is,
okay, next.
For me, it's verse 1:6:5. Great peace that they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, it reminds me to live on this world.
For me, it's verse 11. Thy word is actually in my heart that I am not seeking to be. And this verse tells me that like, with God's word, we are be able to like, walk right in the
okay, so far it's one of the first words. Okay, next.
For me, it's verse 1:6. I have once heard that I love God, see that the word, for I do not forget that I am alone. Sometimes I may like, forget God and not rely on Him, and so like, I need to see Him more and I will really like my pulling from
Him. Good verse for you,
I guess my verse like seem like everyone else will be. Verse 11. I would have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I guess like these verse. It's like aside from the fact that we it's like one of the most common verse like that was taught really far. And then he's like whenever I'm like I have to memorize doing the VBS, like memorize verses. I always feel very sin, but then like the helpers will always like tell me about this verse and say that in times of trials and difficulties, if you read God's word and you memorize them, they will always like just somehow pop up and then you will be greatly encouraged by them or from them.
Well, for my verse is Psalm 119 verse 125. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my heart. This is a this is like the Bible is a light in my life.
For me,
Psalm
119:125. My sin can be healed, meaning that God just judgment is wrong here. I'm afraid of the judgment.
Okay. Finish? Yeah, the one younger than me. David. Okay, thank you for your sharing. I hope you remember what you shared. Because it comes from you. This is what you really desire from God's word. Now, I'm going to do it this workshop this way. Asking the question why. We must know the purpose. Because if you don't know the purpose, then you will never have the motivation, the desire to do your daily devotion quiet time every day. Then we ask ourselves the next question, when? The time. Then the third question is where, the place. And then number four is what, right? What is the method and the format? And then number five is how, what are the tools that can help me in my daily devotion? And I'll conclude with the tool. Okay, so it's very easy to follow, right? Easy to follow. Yesterday at the prayer meeting, Preacher Clement was commending all of you, right? Our young people and the church, and you are zealous in your service, and the children's camp, most of you were there helping.
Ebenezer Camp is to saw your growth and your maturity, which of course I agree. But I must say that one thing that most every one of you lack is to do your quiet time. Because every time when we have our group sharing, I always almost hear the same sharing, because I'm normally the group sharing, right after the meeting you share whether you do your quiet time every day. Typically, without fear, most of you will share, not every day, maybe 3 or 4 days in the past week, maybe 2 days, or very busy, very tired. And I think this is one thing that you lack, and a very serious thing that you lack. And so I hope through the workshop, as you consider God's word, that you will really resolve in your heart that this is my life. My life, my lifestyle, and this is my life that I'll give myself every day to spend time in God's word. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure your answer is yes, right? If you are a child of God, you should say, yes, I love the Lord Jesus. John 14:15, Jesus said, "What if you love me, keep my commandments." Don't just say you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And how do we keep God's commandment? If you don't read God's word, you don't study God's word, you don't spend time in God's word, then how do you keep God's commandments? And so if you don't read the Bible, I want to be very direct with you. Actually, you don't really love the Lord Jesus with all your heart. And that's really a sin. And if you don't read your Bible every day, you don't really love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, with all your mind. And that's how we should love the Lord. And you could not even devote every day some time with God's word. So you just tell us that I have not loved my Lord Jesus as what I ought to love. And that means I've sinned against the Lord. And we need to confess and repent of our sin. And so I want, first of all, to help you to understand the purpose. The purpose is very important. If you don't know the purpose, then you will not have the desires. I'm not going to give you the answer, because I'm going to ask you to search out the answer yourself. And you go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if you are observant from your Bible, okay, there are 22 of you here. Of course, perfect timing, because there are 22 Hebrew alphabets. Actually, you look at the division of Psalm 119. Most of the Bible should have this division of 8 verses per section, right? And you start with alphabet. Actually, these are Hebrew alphabet. Right? Hebrew alphabet for A, Aleph, and B, Beth. So each section starts with a Hebrew alphabet. In Hebrew alphabet, there are altogether 22 alphabets. English A to Z, how many? A to Z, how many alphabet? What? 26, yeah. We all study English, but we don't know. 26, is it? 26, okay. But in Hebrew, there are 22. So if you take 22 times 8, right? One section is 8 verses, right? 22 alphabets. So this is the area. So 22 times 8 is how many? 176. So you find that there are 176 verses. So I'm going to ask you, you're going to take all the alphabet each, that means you're going to take 8 verses. And from your own section of 8 verses, you find and tell me the purpose. You're going to find the purpose even within every section, why you should do your quiet time. So I'm going to divide you this way, okay, we start from Jacob. You take Aleph, A, B, Beth, Gine, see, you know your section, right? Then, right, Dale and Dale, then James, HB, from verse 33, A, I cannot pronounce the Hebrew alphabet, the Sean will be from verse 41 to 48. Then David, the next one, from verse 49 to 56. Kev, I think verse 57 to 64 is Daniel. And Brittany, Kev, from 65 to 72, Jason Job, 73 to 80, Isabel, from 81 to 88, then Chloe, from 89 to 96, Man, will be Gideon, 97 to 104, Moon, right, Matitan, 105 to 112, then Jason, some match, from verse 113 to 120, Joshua will be 8, 121 to 128, Misha, I don't know how to pronounce this Hebrew word. Right, 129 to 136. Zabit, 137 to 144. Devon, right, 145 to 152. Red, 153 to 160. Chin, Bao Yen, 161 to 167. And then Tammy, the last one, 169 to 176. Third, we all have one section, right? We all have one section. And within that this section of eight verses, you draw out and tell me what is the purpose, why you must do quiet time. There is an answer found in it. And then there's an answer found in it. So, and you're going to go around to share why. I'm sure there will be one verse in that section that will tell you the answer. Why must do quiet time? What is the purpose of it to do quiet time? What are we doing? How people will we benefit you? Everybody knows your section, which eight verses you are assigned to. So my question to you is that why? Find the verse or few verses in that eight verses. Why must you do quiet time? What is the purpose? What will it help you? What benefit will it give you? What is the answer to this question? Why? I make you work, so you won't fall asleep, right? Because you're tired. So you must know the answer yourself, right? You must know the answer. If you don't know the answer, then you never read your Bible every day because you don't know the purpose why you must read your Bible every day. And someone one night will give us the answer. Surely there will be an answer there. You have eight verses. From the eight verses, surely you'll find an answer. Why? The purpose. The second one is easy. Yeah. You always read verse 11 is the answer. Okay, are you all ready?
Only answer why.
Ask yourself, why must I do quiet time every day? What is the answer from the Bible? Why must I do quiet time every day? And what's the purpose of doing my quiet time? Know the answer. You must know it yourself. Okay, we start. We start again. This is the 22 Hebrew alphabet. Okay, start. David, we just go around. From the first alphabet to the last. Why? Why?
Yeah, so you will be blessed and receive God with our whole heart. We will not be ashamed when we get respect from His commandments. And we will be able to praise Him with our brothers apart when we have learned His righteousness.
Okay, good. Next section.
We have sin against God.
So that you're not sin against God. You know why, Next, Tianjin.
Verse 18 says, open down my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So God's law, actually, as in reading, during our quiet time, it opens up our eyes to behold the wondrous things of God. Verse 23 tells us, princes also deceit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. So, when we meditate upon God's word, we find comfort in persecution. Verse 24, it tells us, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. So, reading God's word is, we can find joy and we can find counsel.
Okay, can you give a long answer? Very good. Right.
Verse 27, it says that if you want to glorify God through protecting others from his wondrous works. We can't do it if we don't know what has he done for us. And verse 29, if we want to not sin against God, like our human nature will like go against us. So it's like we need the Bible, we need to know the reason why we should not sin.
Yeah, good. James?
The day 3 and the report is that for you to keep the moments and order it with the time of your life. The time of your 6 and it's like, so you answer my question, or why must you do your quiet time every day? Like, why? This is normal and like, so you share our testimony and be happy about it and to be your yes. And the servant is like don't always know act from this morning to like so you know what to keep away from.
You know what to keep away from, huh? When you read the Bible.
So I think
Remember the word unto thy servant upon thou impossible to hope. So you must be, you read God's word, so you always remember God's word. Okay? And then?
Verse 58 says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Verse 64 also says that the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy, teaching us the truth. So I think that devotion is for us to.
God's word has commandments, and if we understand his commandments, we will have good judgment and knowledge. And if we really keep God's word in our hearts, we won't go astray.
Yes, good. Yes,
verse 33, Dahan said, we need a question, we need to be present, we need to be
Yes.
The same?
That was
100. Okay,
For me is 1 to 5. I have a certain degree understanding that I may know that testimony. So only through reading God's word can you know. So 1 to 8, and therefore I esteem all the precepts concerning all things to be right, and I get a reward to it. So by reading God's word, not only we will hit the possibility, but we also know what is the possibility.
For me is 1 to 9 and 1 to 3. So when we understand God's word and His ways, in the heart of the universe, we can have all things to do.
Yeah.
So the section, the word that's repeated is righteous or righteousness. So we do a daily devotion to learn righteousness and also to do righteousness, basically doing the right things.
Verse 151 and 153. It says that God's word is true, so we'll be able to have faith in God when there is affliction because we have God's word. In verse 174, it teaches us to wait upon Him, to hear the speech of salvation, which is become delivered, for example, from the far. And lastly, in the last verse, it teaches us as a family.
Good. Now, what you have just shared and with the verse that you have the Lord put in you, which I know is God's sovereignty, well, we have 22 of you here, and each of you have one section in the verse that you, the Lord just speak to you, that is your section, that's the verse. So take it, yeah, this is what the Lord reminds you, this is the purpose, why you should do your quiet time. Every time you forget the purpose, you get distracted, you always give yourself excuses, then you go back to this verse that you just shared, you yourself just shared, and you know that this is the purpose, right? The Lord will. If I don't read the Bible, I will sin. I will have vain thoughts. I will go astray. If I don't read my Bible, I will have no peace. I have no comfort. I have lost my hope. So you know the purpose, and then you make sure that this is a verse that you keep and remind yourself. Why? Why? And that is your quiet time purpose. As I said, if you lose your desire for God's word, you just need to go back to Psalm 119 and you find that there will be a lot of reasons for you why you should read your Bible. Now I'm going to go to the second part. I'm going to ask you now, within your own role, your chairs, three of you, four of you, within your own role, just simply share among yourself, when do you do your quiet time? And how long is your quiet time? That's all, right? When? In the morning, in the afternoon, in the night? In the midnight, in the 2 a.m., I don't know, how long is your quiet time? Just a quick sharing, whether 2, 3, or 4 of you, right? When do you do your quiet time? And how long do you do your quiet time? Average time. When do you do it? After school, or in the morning before you go to school, or go to work? How long, roughly, your average quiet time?
Is that
Okay, quick sharing, quick, just share among yourself. Okay, one more minute for you to finish your sharing. Okay, finish the sharing. Okay, how many of you do your quiet time in the morning before you do anything? Before you go to school, you know. Okay, a few hands. How many of you in the afternoon after you come home from school? Okay. How many of you do it in the night? Most of you do it in the night, yeah? Now, is there a best time to do it? Is there a best time to do it? Is morning the best time? Some people, morning is it's so rush because you do this, then if I'm late, then I will just quickly do my quiet time. And then I will just rush through. So if you ask me, of course, there's no, ideally, of course, you start the day with God, so that's the best. But in morning, you are always groggy and you cannot make yourself wake up, and then you're going to struggle and you're going to quickly go to God. So then I will say, well, find your best time. Give to God your best time. So if you are a night bird, at night you're always awake, your eyes are bright and big, then that's, you give God your best time and you can concentrate, and then you read your Bible, right? And some of you are good. Morning, you wake up early, you're fresh, and you can wake up early, and that's where you have a very quiet time, nobody disturbs you, and then you spend time with God's word. That's one and two. And some of you students, one big concern is when you start to do your homework, and then there will be a lot of homework, and then homework and homework project. By the time you finish all your homework, it could be quite late in the night. Then the time you say, oh, I want to read my Bible. A lot of time, because you delay, you procrastinate, by the time you finish 11 PM, 12 midnight, and you finish all your homework, you'll be very tired. And then even when you read your Bible, you're not giving God the best time, and you're going to be very tired, and you just will just skim through it quickly, and just finish it, and just soothe your conscience. So it's not your best time. So if you are a student, and you know that this is it, this is how your homework is going to drag you, then I think the best is that once you come back from school, you're going to take a short nap or short break, you're going to do that. Then after you shower when you're fresh, then you do your quiet time first, before you start your homework. Because by the time you start your homework, you drag that until 11, 12 midnight, you want to read a Bible, you will just, most likely, just skim it through. So the best is, after you come back, you shower, you're clear, then you read the Bible. And that's the best time. So I'm not going to be dogmatic and tell you what this is. But my answer to you is that give to God your best time. Give to God your best time. The time that you're most awake, the time that you're most fresh, the time that you can concentrate. So the next question about time is duration. Duration. 5 minutes? How many of you 5 minutes? No. 10 minutes? Sorry, 2 minutes? Yeah. Of course, the quality is not important than the quantity, right? But If you don't have the quantity, then you never have the quality time. I mean, if you say I only spend time 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I mean, so short, you can never really find enough time to digest, to meditate on God's word. Again, we do not want to be dogmatic and say that this is a time when you just track yourself, then you just time yourself, make sure, wow, I'm going to strike 15 minutes, don't have Bible. Right? I've done 15 minutes, right? I think that's not the spirit, the heart of it. But if you ask me, at your age, maybe a good 15 to 30 minutes a day, it will be a good time, a good duration for you to spend, to read, meditate on God's word, to think about it. So, I think it's a reasonable time that you can give to the Lord. Of course, if you can give more, it's wonderful, but if you ask me, you can spend within 15, 30 minutes. Of course, ideally, it should be about half an hour. But if you are growing, you're still learning, some of you are growing in the faith, then maybe 15 minutes, then as you grow, you mature, you increase to 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And sometimes you tell yourself, hey, I'm a student, I'm very busy, a lot of exam, homework. And you struggle with it. When you go to work, it's worse. And you ask yourself, working, actually it's worse. It's worse. Because when you go to work, you work entire day, and you are just so tired that a lot of people will not give time to God's word. So if you start well, start right as a student, then when you go to work one day, then you are ready, you continue this wonderful spiritual habit to read God's word, no matter how tired you are. So I think a good duration, if you ask me, yeah? at least 15 minutes, right, to half an hour, that will be a good duration. Another thing I want to say about time is, always try to have a fixed time. This is my time. If I come back from school and bathe, I do my practice always. So that you will always keep that time. If I wake up in the morning, first thing is God's word, right? That is always the time. And you know that is time. So that you will not be distracted by other things. Because if you always have different time, very soon, you know, other priorities will take place. Then you will procrastinate, you'll be late. So always within the day, keep yourself. For me, it's in the morning. I wake up in the morning, I do my quiet time. That's for me. Right? For you, you must have a fixed time. This is from this time to this time, right? You give yourself to God. So that every time you strike the clock, strike it, oh, this is my time of quiet time. Right? Nothing will distract me. Right? Oh, okay, 10 o'clock is always my time to read my Bible. Everything put aside. So when you have a fixed time, it's better. Because you know that once you strike this time, it's for me to read the Bible. So always try to go for a fixed time. Of course, here and there may be some things that will draw you away, but by and large, we should have a fixed time, and this is a fixed time, and this is a duration, and you give to God the best time. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about is the place. Where do you do your quiet time? Where do you do your quiet time? Do you have a place to do your quiet time? And what does the word quiet means? What? You must find a place that is what? Quiet, right? So what's the thing that distracts you the most? What's the thing that distracts you the most? Your handphone, right? Or the television? Or your game set? Now, if you want to do a proper quiet time, you must put all this away and be as far as possible from it. When I was young, like you just come to know the Lord in secondary school, I know I have to read my Bible, so I opened my Bible. In those days, in my time, there's a lot of this Cantonese Hong Kong serial show. Wow, I love this Hong Kong serial show. So I purposely read my Bible near the television, so I can see what's going on. So I ask myself, hey, why am I doing this? Thinking that I just soothe my conscience that I read my Bible, but actually my heart is what? I just want to hear what's happening to the show, you know, what's next. You know, all this serious show, they have a lot of drama. So we must find a place and take away things that distract. I think for most of you, the thing that distracts you the most is like your handphone, right? Your handphone is the one, right? Because the moment the SMS ring, right? You will be there, and then you put aside and get distracted. So if you cannot discipline yourself, just like your hand, right? You keep all your handphone, right? if you cannot discipline yourself, right, put it away when you're reading the Bible. Put it in a cupboard, put it far away from you. Right? If you cannot, if you think that the television will distract you, the computer will distract you, the game, then go far away from it. So find a place that really, you know that you can devote yourself to God. That's why it's daily devotion, right? Devote yourself to God and give your best to the Lord. So the place is important. So don't end up with that. Now, I want to move on to the next step. What? The method and the format. Now, I want to say this first step. Right? How do you read the Bible? What is the method? What is the format? And for us, we are very clear. We use the King James Version. Today, of course, I'm not here to explain to you. But basically, if you ask yourself, why do we use the King James Version? You know, some people say, oh, there are other English versions that's easier to read, simpler, you don't have the E and L. Now, you must know the reason why we use the King James Version. I'll just give you three clear reasons. Number one is the source text. Right? You translate the Bible in English, you need to have the source text of the Hebrew and the Greek, right? That's where you translate from. And so if your source text of your Hebrew and Greek is corrupted, then of course your translation will be corrupted. And so for King James Version, it's the only English Bible that takes the text, the Hebrew and Greek, from the preserved text, not the corrupted text. All other English versions, they take from the corrupted text. So when King James translate, they take the right source. Because when you have the right source, of course your translation will be correct and accurate. So the source text. And secondly, translators. Who are the translators? The translators must be faithful to God, love the Lord, devoted to the Lord, and they gather for King James Bible the best, right? The best translators, the most faithful translators who love God's word, who are proficient in the Hebrew Greek language to translate the King James Bible. And then third reason is the translation method. Why we use King James Version, the translation method is a word-by-word translation. Unlike other English translation method, they use translation by what? By the meaning of it. So I translate, I read this Hebrew, right, and then I just translate according to what I think is the meaning of it. So I translate into English, I think it's the meaning. But King James translators are very faithful. They just take the word-by-word type of translation. And so, I just give you this three simple reason, not clear. That's why when we study the Bible, we must use the King James Version Bible. Now, when you ask yourself the method that you read the Bible, I want to introduce you. I mean, a lot of times we use a RPG. RPG. Some use RPG. Some people use RPG to follow RPG. Right? Some of you follow RPG, right? RPG has a certain theme for that few months and then certain verses for you to read. Now, never go to the extent of taking the RPG notes as the Bible. It's not the Bible. Right? It's not the Bible. RPG is good for a certain time of your spiritual life. But I think as you mature in your faith, you should go beyond that. So in the initial years as a Christian, yes, RPG is good. After you read the Bible text, it explains to you the meaning, and it's good. But I want you to move beyond that and challenge yourself. How many of you have read through the Bible in your whole life? You can say from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 22, the last verse. I also don't know what's the last verse. How many of you have read through the Bible? How many of you resolved to read through the Bible in 1 year? When I was a Christian, I was burdened and tell myself, I want to read through the Bible in 1 year. Okay, you turn to your notes. This is just an example. Actually, in the internet now, there are so many. Even in my Bible, there are also ways that you can finish reading the Bible in a year. And so, I just give you this as a sample of, if you have 1 year, how many weeks? 52 weeks, right? 52 weeks. And each week, there are how many days? Right? 7 days. And if you can spend Of course, this way of reading is every Sunday is a certain book, so every day is different books for this way of reading. But there are those that just follow the whole Bible from Genesis all the way. And you can read through the Bible in 1 year, 365 days, if you read just about 3 chapters a day. And then you can tell yourself, I have finished reading the whole Bible. And that was my desire when I was a young Christian. I said, I must read through the whole Bible. At least I must read through the whole Bible. It's God's word. How can I only know the New Testament, the easier to read books? And so I set my heart and I printed out 365 days reading. And guess what? Of course, many people at the time of our youth group all tried. Most people failed, but by God's grace, I managed to finish it. And it's not easy because there are days that you're very tired, there are days you fall sick, there are days that you don't have the strength, but you persevere on. Do you have the desire? Do you want to read and understand God's word? I say, I finished reading the whole Bible. And then in my life, after that, I did about 4 or 5 times reading through the whole Bible in a year. So after you finish one time, you say, I must do it again. And do it again. Now, I'm not saying that you must do it, but I think as a Christian, before you go to heaven, at least you must read through the whole Bible. I'm not going to heaven, God say, have you read the Bible? Oh, I only know John, Gospel of John. Why? Because Uncle John taught me. At least in your whole lifetime, you have to read through the whole Bible, right? And you can challenge yourself to do that. I mean, this is just one sample. You can go to the internet. There are different ways of reading through the Bible. So RPG is good. You want to challenge yourself to read through the Bible in a year. There are also those that read through the Bible in 2 years also have. You think that, wow, 1 year is very challenging. There are those also have read through the Bible in 3 years. So you could learn about a chapter a day. And this couple of years for me, because of the need also for me to learn the Chinese language and to preach in Chinese, so I also decided that I must read the Chinese Bible. My Chinese is no good, like most of you. It's really no good. But I had to learn. I had to learn very hard. So I read it by listening. So as I read, I listen. I play the audio Bible as I listen. I say I must read through the whole Chinese Bible. And by God's grace, I've done it. I read through the whole Chinese Bible. A chapter a day. It took me about 3 years to finish. So, you can do it. You resolve, you settle. How what do you want to do? You say you love God's word. How do you want to read the Bible? How do you want to do it? You can do it slowly. I'm not suggesting you do it in 1 year, but you can do it slowly. You can do a chapter a day. Even if you do a chapter a day, in 3 years, you'll finish reading the whole Bible. Wow, 3 years so long. 3 years is not very long. You do it consistently, faithfully to the Lord. So never, never read your Bible without a proper method. That means you don't just flip your Bible. Never, never just flip your Bible and read any old part. You've got to be serious, you've got to be proper. If you want to follow the RPG, you follow the RPG, right? I'm going to read a chapter a day, you read a chapter, you finish this book, and move on to the next book. You want to do a reading through the whole Bible in 1 year, you can do that. You want to do through the whole Bible in 2 years, also can. Right? But have a proper, systematic way so that you are consistent, you finish this book, you move to the next book. You want to read the Bible in English, then after you read the Bible in Chinese, also can. So there are proper way of reading the Bible, and you must follow this. Now, I also want to say this, that as you read the Bible, you always begin with prayer. Ask the Lord to help you. And then as you read, don't just be happy you finish reading. After you finish reading, read it again. Read the second time, because usually after the second reading, it gives you better meaning. And then you spend time to meditate, to ask, what do I learn? What does the Lord teach me? some of you can write down the lesson. I know the sisters are very good, right? They are more meticulous, they write down what they learn. And that's very good, you write down what you learn. And you can refresh, remind yourself. And then you end with prayer. So, that is a proper way of reading the Bible. It's not any old how, just take, just tweet anything. Right? You start praying to the Lord for understanding. You read again, you meditate, you ask yourself, what do you learn? What is the Lord teaching me? And then, right? And then you close in prayer. So that is a proper format of doing your quiet time. So that is meaningful. One of the things that can help us in reading the Bible is I also love the Psalms and the Proverbs. So besides the normal book that I read chapter by chapter, every day I also read a Psalm. Psalm 1, Psalm 2. Then you finish the Psalm, right? 150 Psalm. Then you read Proverbs chapter 1 after Proverbs chapter. Then finish, then go back to Psalm 1. So every day you have the Psalm and the Proverbs to guide your life. I think that is also wonderful. Some people they encourage, yeah, so you read the Psalms, you read the Proverbs, because they are all very comforting and encouraging verses. Alright, so now I want to move now to before I move to point 5, which that's where all my books are here, right? I also encourage you, that when you must have your own personal Bible. Don't use an electronic Bible. Don't say my Bible is an electronic Bible. Electronic Bible, okay, SMS, sometimes you need it, no problem. But you must have your own personal hard copy Bible. And that's yours. So that you can underline, you can write down notes, right? It's very personal to you. See? So that after 10 years, you look back, you can say, wow, this is my Bible. Although it's a bit torn and tattered, but it's well used. And you see all the verses you've underlined. So, have your own personal Bible and really use it. This is what God gives to you. Now, point five. I'm going to talk about the how, the tools. See, we are blessed with many wonderful tools that help us to know God's word better. So I'm in front of me, there are a lot of books, and I want to introduce you so that you know that as you go on a serious Bible student, and you have to invest in books. First, you live in my house, you know how messy my books are. You can pick it. But of course now many things are already online. In my time, I'm already online, so you have to buy books. But there are good tools. And the first thing that I want to introduce you is a Bible dictionary. You need to have a Bible dictionary. Because there will be verses, words that you will come across that you don't fully understand. And so what do you do with it? You can just skim it through and don't care, don't bother. But if you are a serious Bible student, you do your devotion, and then you come to this verse, you come to this word, you don't understand the meaning, what do you do? A Bible dictionary will help you. So in the apps, I always use this Bible dictionary called the. Do you have your phone? You know, right? You don't have your phone with you, right? Right? It's called the EASTON, Eastern Bible Dictionary. This is a good app. If you have it, because there are many EASTON, Eastern Bible Dictionary. You can download this app, and it has so many, all the meaning of all the words. For example, even if you say Miriam, right? What is the meaning of Miriam? It can tell you, right? You just click to Miriam, the rebellion, the sister of Moses and Aaron. The name is prominent, and the history of Exodus is called the prophetess. So they explain to you. See? And some other words, like sometimes you come across, for example, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, they come across this word called Netushan. Wow. So what is Netushan? And so sometimes you come across this, Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. When you study gospel, don't be lazy. Take out your Bible dictionary, and then you go to these apps here, or like if your phone distracts you, then you better not. Right? And you go to this app here, and then you can find, right, the meaning of the word, Netushan. Netushan, it means copper, right? A brazen thing in a name of content given to the serpent Moses had made in the wilderness. So he explained to you. So then when you read the Bible, all you understand, when you come across certain words, like, what does it mean and what happened, is it? So I think a Bible dictionary is good, right? A Bible dictionary is helpful. There are, of course, a Bible dictionary, that you can. I didn't bring, but I normally, for me, I use these apps as my Bible dictionary. Now, the other tools that you can think of is a commentary. Right? Commentary. A lot of very godly people, they explain God's word. And J.C. Wright, of course, is one good commentary that just the Gospel of Luke, it's not even complete, I haven't finished the whole Gospel of Luke, but he will explain to you, okay, first five verses, then you read, and explain to you the meaning of it, right? And so as you can study, and then you can follow. So sometimes in my devotion, in some years of my life, then I do a bit of commentary. So I read the Bible, and then after that, I read this commentary, the explanation, then I read the Bible again. So commentary of this, later on you can come and take a look. Matthew Henry, of course, is the all-time favorite, but of course he's Amir, but in terms of devotion, he explained, Matthew Henry is also quite good, but you know, my eyes cannot see anymore. But I have the whole set of commentaries that we bought, I think about 7 or 8 of these, right? Matthew Henry commentary. It's just from Acts to Revelation, so you can Genesis. So commentary also useful. Somehow Matthew's a good writing commentary. There's another one by Matthew Poole. Matthew Poole. Matthew Poole is shorter, just 2 volumes. Has that. So Matthew Henry, Matthew Poole. Now, if you want a shorter Bible commentary, KJV Bible commentary, this one is. So it all depends on how much depth you want to go into. This Bible commentary is good. It goes through the whole Bible and explain the verses, what it is. So this entire Bible commentary, KJV Bible commentary. So this is quite useful. I find this quite useful. And sometimes I don't understand the verses, so I need to read more, think more. This KJV Bible commentary. So you can have one commentary for the whole Bible. You can have a 6-8 volumes commentary. If you take J.C. Wright, I think it's so many volumes of this. You want Matthew Poole. Matthew Poole is, I think, only 2 volumes. So there are good, useful commentary that you can find. In fact, today most of your apps also comes with commentary as well. Right? Comes with a commentary and it can help you. But I don't know whether you are, if you ask me, every generation, seriously, every generation gets worse and worse in their devotion to God's word. Right? Our time, we go to the bookshop, when I was young in age, we go, we buy, we spend time, but every generation, we are not as devoted and willing to spend time and study God's word. So, you have to spend time. So the tools are there. And now we are blessed with a lot of tools that are even easier to access online, the apps. So much easier. Not like those days. Okay. Just now I talked about the method of reading the Bible. I forgot to show you this. Spurgeon has also the morning and evening devotion.
Well, of course, it's just one verse. You read the verse and then his devotion, morning and evening. But some of these are also very edifying, very encouraging. Just one page. That this can add in supplement to your devotion. If you want, that you have another verse, another supplement. Just like I supplement my devotion by reading the Psalms and Proverbs. Some people supplement their normal devotion by reading evening and morning and evening by Spurgeon. And he's called the Prince of Preachers, and then he's writing about using very encouraging. So later on, when I finish, you can come here and take a look at some of this. Now, other tools that you can think of that I actually show you and your notes behind. Most of you, when you open your Bible, do you understand that you have what we call a cross reference? Do you see that when you... Nowadays, you all don't carry big Bibles. That do you see that if you carry a Bible, you have this in the middle, a cross reference. Now you must understand what is this cross reference about. So that it helps you. This is called a cross reference. Now, what I printed here is just to show you that, which is normally in the middle of your Bible. If you have a cross reference, it's in the middle of Bible. And you find that scripture interprets scripture. So sometimes you cannot understand the verse or what. There's another verse that will explain this verse. So a cross-reference is such that it will bring you to the other verse. For example, Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created heaven. Then there's a cross-reference that brings you to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. So when you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, what does it tell you? What does it tell you? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. Right, and thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. So do you see that it's related to Genesis 1:1, right? So there's another verse that explains Genesis 1:1. So this is called cross-reference, right? So similarly, we go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, right? So it cross-reference to Genesis 1:1. So sometimes when you study the Bible and you have this cross reference in the Bible, in fact, I actually printed this from the internet. So there are also all these available tools in the internet that help you. So the entire Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation actually it gives you all the cross references. I mean, not all, most of the cross references from Genesis 1:1, 1:3. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, right? Through faith, we understand that the words are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen do not make of things which do appear. So again, if you want to really seriously study the Bible and you want to make cross-reference and you want to understand the meaning from one verse to another verse, then cross-reference is very useful. Most of your Bible, if you buy a good Bible, you should have a good Bible. And the church, most of the time, if you are baptized, will give you a good Bible. Then, in the middle of it, you should have a cross-reference. And then it will point you to another verse and help you to understand the scripture better. So that is cross-reference. Now, another thing that I want to show you is called concordance. The most famous concordance is this concordance called what? You need to be physically very strong to carry it. And of course, you need to be spiritually strong to read it. If you can read it. I don't know why I buy all these last time. And when you know that it's still so clean and neat, means I hardly use it, right? But this one, really, concordance, I give you a sample, right? Concordance is, that means to say, if you have a word, for example, where are all the verses with the word dead, right? D-E-A-D. So you can find that all the verses, right, with the word dead are printed there. But of course, this one is not complete. This one is not complete. If you want a complete one with all the verses there, then you must turn to this one. Strong concordance. Because strong concordance, will give you really everything that you need. So don't use, you want to borrow this strong concordance after this, but don't use this to hit your neighbor. Very heavy. But you don't have to buy this anymore. Now it's also available online.
it's also available online. So you say you are blessed, but sometimes when you are blessed with all this, you don't use it. I know it's my time, you don't have it. So we always tell ourselves, oh, this is the best, strong concordance. So everybody must get. So I also get lah. But it's very exhaustive, really. All the verses that you find, you want to turn to any word, you want to say the word hereby, right? All the words are there, you want to see the word Herod, right? All the verses are there for you. So this is a concordance, which is useful. Because sometimes you forget where are the verses, right? God rings in your mind, oh, this verse, but I don't know where is it found, but you remember one word, right? Maybe the word is besetting, right? You're thinking of besetting sin. You don't know where to find this word, this verse, but you want to turn to this verse. So you go to a concordance, then you look for the word besetting. And then when you look for the word besetting, right, then you will bring you to Hebrew, right? Then you know, oh, Hebrews 11, or Hebrews 12, sorry. So concordance is useful. This one is Thompson Chain Bible. Thompson Chain Bible has all the numbers there. And it will also bring you to all the different section with and explain all the different themes. So there are different Bibles with different way of to help you to bring and give you better understanding of the Word of God. So there are actually all these tools. Now I also want to say that there are maps that are available. I have this one that is quite good. Because sometimes when you read the Bible, you come to a certain geography, certain places, and you don't know where you can move from here to where. Where is it? How do you understand? So this one, from every book in the Bible, it gives you the geography, the map, and it tells you how to move. But most of you will have maps at the back of the Bible, right? We have maps at the back of the Bible. And so sometimes when you study the Bible, it's also good to refer to your map. At least you have a visual understanding. When a person moves from here to here, how is it? But of course, most of our Bible behind the maps are quite just a few maps. So if you really want a good one, this one has a lot. And I also bought myself bigger maps. So you have, like, for example, Paul's missionary journey on the map. This one good for my eyesight, I can see everything. Right? So all some of these you can invest in and then see. And next time if you want to teach others, right, all these are good maps. Then you can see the age of the patriarchs, how they move, Abraham, how they move, where they move. So maps are useful also for you to able to see and visualize. Now, I also want to draw your attention to next page. There are, of course, in the King James Version, what we call archaic words. Archaic words, because it's from the days of the 1611 until now, some English words have been obsolete and not used. But actually, we don't have to worry, because there are, even online, these are just printed online, just to give you a sample of it. To if you are a diligent Bible student, and these are all tools that are available even online, you can actually know the meaning of some of these archaic words that are there. So, well, sometimes you read the Bible, you see the word, like, what is abject? A-B-J-E-C-T, abject. Right? Okay, with all this, you can understand it means of worthless. Actually, the Bible dictionary that I recommend you, the Eastern one, also has this, all this meaning. But if you want to print some of these archaic words, the meaning of it, right? It can help you. So sometimes you read words like agar, right? God, right? What's the meaning of this? It's all there. I just printed A for you, B, C, D. About 300 of them, all these archaic words. Now, the last page, if you and I don't know Hebrew and Greek, but nowadays, with the tools online, the apps, actually, they also give you the Hebrew words and the meaning of the Hebrew words or the Greek words. So, for example, if you go to Pocket Sword apps, you can actually go to the verse and you can actually go to Right, the word, and tell you what's the Hebrew word, or the Greek word, what's the meaning of it. So again, we are not short of all these tools, right? We are not short of all these tools that are available for us. And some of you are given a study Bible, right? A study Bible. So when you are baptized, you're given a study Bible. So in study Bible, right, normally below the study Bible, it gives you some explanation of the biblical verses. That is also helpful. So I just want to say this, that there are many, many available tools, and you are blessed with apps, online resources that are now readily available. If you want to study, you want to find out, it's very easy to find out. It's not difficult to find out the meaning and to understand the maps and even some certain verses, and you'll find where is it. You can get it. So, I want to conclude with this. My time is up also. So I want to conclude with this. And that is, who? And I want to say that, at the end of it, this workshop will be useless in vain if you do not do your quiet time. And you know what will happen? I can almost say, and I hope I'm wrong, when you break camp on Friday, you'll be so tired. When you wake up groggy because you sleep late that Thursday night, and then you pack everything and go home, you sleep. And the moment you reach home on Friday, you'll miss your quiet time. You'll miss your quiet time. The very day you reach home after the camp, when you say, I'm revived, God's word is revived. But the moment you reach home, you miss a quiet time. Why? And it's going to happen to most of you here if you're not careful, because you're not disciplined. Because you forgot the purpose. And so I want to say that ultimately, you have to do the quiet time. You are responsible before the Lord. This is a duty before the Lord. You must do it. You must discipline the life. You say, I love God, then show it. The Lord says, show it to me. By obeying my commandments, by reading my words. And so, quiet time, let me say this, is a real spiritual exercise. And anything that is a real spiritual exercise will never be easy. Anything of the flesh, you go out, play computer game, watch television, it's very easy because your natural flesh will be able to do it. No need to struggle. It's just part of you. But if it is a spiritual exercise like doing your quiet time, then it is not going to be easy. But you have to resolve in your heart. And so the Bible reminds us, you just turn to this verse as you conclude. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. And I want to say this, Christian discipline is what you and I must have if we want to do our quiet time. Since 1976, 40 years ago, I believed the Lord. I set in my heart, I must read God's word. And I keep my body, as Paul said, I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. There will be a lot of distraction, there will be a lot of things that stop us, there will be tiredness, fatigue. But you have to discipline yourself. When you go into the army, you are in the field, you don't sleep for 3 days, 3 nights, I'll pick up my pocket Bible from, I'll just read a psalm. Yeah, it's very difficult to read, but just read a psalm. So every day you keep yourself and you say, Lord, this is my duty, my love for you. I want to read the Bible. And I discipline myself. I keep my body under subjection. No matter how tired, I will still be. And so this evening as we end, I want you to ask the Lord, can you make a promise to God? Can you make a promise to God tonight? And tell the Lord, I will do my quiet time every day. When you make a promise to God, it's a serious thing. Because God knows what to do. You resolve in the heart and you say, I want to keep my quiet time every day. No matter how easy I am, I will keep my quiet time. No matter how tired I am, I will keep my quiet. No matter how sick I am, I will still will read at least a psalm. No matter where I am, in the field, overseas, I will still read my Bible. No matter what age I am, right? 40 years down the road as a Christian, I will still read my Bible. That is our promise to God. That must be your promise to God. And this evening, you can say, this is what I want to do for the Lord. Then I think this workshop is not in vain. Let's pray together. I'll give you a short time and you talk to the Lord and tell the Lord what is the state of your quiet time. Will you resolve in your heart? Will you promise the Lord to do your quiet time every day? No matter how tired, how weak, how busy, how sick, wherever you are, you promise the Lord, you tell the Lord, Lord, this is my duty, my love for you. I will read my Bible every day. Tell the Lord that. Mean it in your heart. The Lord will help you. The Lord will give you the grace. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for tonight that God has given to us to learn about quiet time. We confess our failure, we confess our laziness, slothfulness, and all the distractions that brought us away from thee, from your word. And now, Lord, we confess our sin, we repent of them, and we ask, Lord, give us this deep resolve, this desire, this commitment to do and read your Bible every day. So help us, Lord, by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.